This is Fresh Air. I'm Artie Moss-Cohen. As Russia makes its transition from communism to capitalism, new markets are opening up. But as Stephen Handelman told us, it's hard to do business in Russia without encountering massive corruption and organized crime. Terry Gross spoke with R.D. Zimmerman, a partner in an American company in Russia. It's the largest customs clearinghouse in St. Petersburg and has been in operation for 6 years. Zimmerman first went to Russia in 1976 to study at Leningrad University and returned 2 years later on assignment with the U.S. Information Agency. Zimmerman is also a mystery writer, and several of his mysteries are set in Russia. The latest, Red Trance, which is in part about the Russian mafia, just came out in paperback. Zimmerman's own experience with Russian-style capitalism has included an official offering to clear a business deal if Zimmerman would pay for 1 hour of his consulting time, a mere $20,000, and a raid on his office by masked and armed tax police. In fact, Zimmerman told Terry, every day brings a different story and a different trauma.
Not long ago, somebody came to us and said they had a trainload of copper that they had to sell and that they wanted to sell, and could we find a buyer for them? So we found a buyer for them in Finland. It required that we put up the money in Moscow and that we take, you know, charge of this trainload of copper. To do that, we required the gentleman in Moscow, a former government official, to authenticate the quantity of copper that he had and the quality of the copper, which he did. And he fulfilled all of our requirements. We put down our deposit, which was a six-figure amount, and the train was shipped from or started from Moscow. We received a notification along the way from the rail yards that that train was in progress, that it would reach St. Petersburg, and that it would, you know, go on to Finland, to Helsinki. And we received notification of the quantity and the quality all along the way. And then we went down to the train yard in St. Petersburg when the train was supposed to be there, but there was no train. There never had been a train. This former government official in Moscow had bribed everybody along the way to state that this train existed. It was a ghost train. It was a scam. And meanwhile, he had our money in Moscow, and he was going to be sending it to Switzerland. Fortunately, we had a former KGB colonel in our office who used his authority and his connections to freeze that money before it crossed the border.
And is that where the story ends?
No, unfortunately, it doesn't. That former government official in Moscow was so furious at us that we were going to outwit him, that he put a bomb threat on our office. He said our office was going to be bombed, everybody would be killed. And frankly, I was receiving hysterical phone calls from St. Petersburg, and it was an extremely dangerous and difficult situation. It further got dialed up that one of our associates, a driver, had a connection to a mafia group, and he went to them without our authority and put a hit out on this man in Moscow. The good side of that is that it negated the bomb threat and everything began to get dialed down. We did, after a number of months, receive our money back, and that government official, to this day, we have not seen nor heard of, nor has anybody else. I mean, he was not killed. He still lives, but he's not trying to pull off any of these scams anymore.
Gee, who did the friend or partner of yours go to get a hit out on the guy who...
Well, it was the driver. I'm not quite sure who he went to. It's impossible to do business in Russia without being connected to a protection service. And I guess you could say a protection service is a glorified member of the mafia. We are under somebody's kresha, under somebody's roof, as it is called in Russia.
Kresha means roof.
Roof, yes. And we're under somebody's kresha. And you'll find that any store, any business, anybody in Russia is under somebody's kresha. If you go to a store in St. Petersburg, you'll find somebody sitting at their door, and it is a security guard. And we have a security guard sitting at our door. And if we have any troubles whatsoever, we refer the troublemaker, instigator, to our security guard and our kresha. And then it is their problem, their issue to deal with this security.
The security people, the Crescia, are they all connected to the mafia?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think, you know, I mean, when you talk about the mafia, you're talking about a very complicated term in a complicated environment. You're talking about the regular thugs and extortionists, which there are thousands of. There are many kiosks, many small stores, and these thugs will frequently go to these little places of business and extort money for them from them. Either you give me, you know, $100 or $500, or I'll blow up your business, or I'll kill your sister, or whatever. And they're quite serious and they're quite violent. You have another branch of the mafia that really is in charge. Their business is protection. And they, whether it's good or not, they do provide a very real service. The police service in St. Petersburg, in Moscow, in Russia in general, is not very, with regret I say, not very active. They're doing the best they can, but these people are receiving perhaps $100 a month. That's all that a police officer receives. They're not responsive. They don't have a lot of equipment at hand. They don't have a lot of cars. They don't have any proper way of maintaining authority. An area of the mafia that does have this authority by virtue of their violence, I suppose, is the mafia. And so there is a branch of the mafia that does provide protection that is very valuable to anybody doing business in Russia.
Do you think that your typical Russian businessman now at some point has to get a contract on somebody's life to stay in business?
No, I don't think so. And I don't, you know, you can talk about the mafia forever and ever, and they are a big threat. What you need to conduct business in Russia these days, if you're in a Western company, what you need is a good connection to a Russian company. You need to have clear communication. You need to have a clear definition of what you're doing. I don't think that you need to have a contact by any means with the violent side of the Russian mafia. And I don't want to dissuade anybody in the United States from doing business there. In fact, we are falling behind. The Americans are falling behind of doing business, of conducting business in Russia, because it's being taken up. The slack that we're letting go of is being taken up by the Germans, the Austrians, the Finns. Russia is an extremely rich country and an extremely lucrative market.
R.D. Zimmerman is my guest, and he's a partner in the largest customs clearinghouse in St. Petersburg. And he also writes mystery novels. Red Trance, which is in part about the Russian mafia, just came out in paperback. Another novel, Closet, will be published in the fall. R.D., let's take a short break, and then we'll talk some more. This is Fresh Air. Back with R.D. Zimmerman. He is a partner in a business in St. Petersburg in Russia. He's also a mystery novelist. What kind of taxes do you have to pay having a business in Russia?
Tax situation is a whole, as they say in Russia, at the Sosem Drugaya Opera, that's a whole different opera. The tax code is another great problem, and one that we pay on a one that we face on a daily situation. The two big problems in Russia are the privatization laws, and the other big problem is that the tax code has not been unified. And we were exporting timber, and we still are at some to some degree, but it's a very difficult situation. You can get a tax from the city government, you can get a tax from the regional government, you can get a tax from the state government, and all of these taxes, you know, there could be a half dozen of them, add up, and in many instances, well, they add up to, say, 108%. So conducting business is just not profitable. And that is a great problem right now, is that the tax codes have not been unified.
So are you making a profit?
We are making a profit. Everything that we are making, we are reinvesting into building our own warehouses on property that we own so that we have complete control of our services, of everything that comes and goes.
Given the amount of aggravation that having a business in Russia gives you now, why are you partners in a business there?
I'm not quite sure why. I have some very dear friends that I've known for almost 20 years, and they came to me about 6 years ago, and they said, we have an idea for a business. Can you help us get this going. And I don't know. In the end, it's either going to be my wisest decision to get involved or it's going to be the dumbest decision. I'm either going to make a lot of money or I'm going to lose a lot of money. Given the aggravation, it's a challenge. I mean, what's life without a challenge? That's all I can say.
What do your Russian colleagues in business most want to know about what business is like in America?
They want to know when people come to work, how people work. Our colleagues in our business now have been over here a number of times, and they have a pretty good idea. What other people want to know, what they see is, you know, how do people work? How do they trust? How do they get paid? How do their bosses treat them? How do they get Social Security? How do they get medical insurance? How do they get, a pension plan? They want to know, if they lose their job, what's going to happen? They want to know just sort of those basic requirements. One of the greater problems that we've had in our office is to teach people to report a problem when the problem starts. The communist system taught people to hide problems and to not reveal problems until the very end. If a boss came into a factory and there was a problem, the workers, I suppose for fear of causing any trouble, would just say, oh no, there's no problem, everything's great, until it reached sort of the disaster point. And what we've had to teach our people in our office and what they've learned is that if there's a problem, if they make a mistake, they need to report it, that there won't be any repercussions, and that things can progress in a safe, functional, normal manner, and that, you know, will help them correct the problem.
R.D. Zimmerman is my guest, and he's a partner in a business in Russia. He's also a mystery writer. Your latest novel that just came out in paperback, which is called Red Trance, is set in part in Russia, has to do in part with the Russian mafia. Now, the heroes of this novel, I mean, this is actually part of a series that you've done about a brother-sister detective team. And the sister, as a result of an accident, is a paraplegic who's also blind, but she's a brilliant hypnotist. And that's always key in the novel. Why hypnotism? Do you use that in your life too?
I do use hypnotism. It sounds like a strange thing, but whenever I talk about it, I always like to preface it by saying that I think everybody is familiar with hypnosis by virtue of the phenomena of highway hypnosis. I think we've all gotten in a car at point E and then gotten lost in deep thought, and all of a sudden we've reached point D and we've forgotten, you know, did we stop at a stoplight? Did we make that right turn? How did we do that? We did not consciously do that. And it's that place, that sort of very right brain place, that's where I do my best writing. So I have used hypnotism for a number of years to get myself into a good writing place psychologically. And I have used it now for a number of my books.
You have a new novel coming out in October called Closet that will be the first in a new series for you featuring a gay protagonist. Is this book something of a coming out for you?
Yes, it is a coming out book for me. I've never written about that aspect of my life. I have been very closeted. Going back to Russia and Soviet Union in 1978, I had a high security clearance in which I had to lie to get the security clearance.
You had a lie about being straight?
About being straight. If I had told them, I would not have gotten the job. I did, I will say proudly, adhere to our one strong rule, which was NSOSS, no sex on Soviet soil. But this book is a coming out book for me. A writer is always in search of a compelling story. And I can't think of anything more compelling and more, I suppose, difficult to come to terms with and more rewarding in the end than coming to terms with my sexuality. And it's only natural that I get to a point when I could write about it. And I chose to write about it in the mystery format because that's my life. That's what this thing has been about. It's been a great mystery to me.
That expression you used, no sex on Soviet soil, I've never heard that before. Is that a common expression?
That was the rule. We were given high security clearance from the U.S. Information Agency. We were given security briefings. We were told what we could do and not do. And that was one of their supreme rules, that we, as young Americans with diplomatic passports but without diplomatic immunity, not have contact, not have physical contact with Soviet personnel or people.
Well, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you, Terry.
Businessman and mystery writer R.D. Zimmerman spoke with Terry Gross. His latest book, Red Trance, just came out in paperback. His new novel, Closet, will be published in the fall. This is Fresh Air.